I got to ask the question, like Andy Ed Earl coined one time, how's the will of God feeling right now? You liking it? Yeah, that's good. Good answer, son. Good answer. I have noticed that since we did Lake City, there's been a real change. All the proclamations, you know, up there about this is the time to enter into your promised land and have victory over your enemies, the enemies of God. That was there. There was no doubt about that. And that we're all, you know, lining up for that liberty that God promises us because we have victory over the enemies of God. But boy, since we got back, the war has been intense. It's just been crazy. I know I'm not the only one because I've had several phone calls and it's just all over the place. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians 5. Liberty. Liberty. I will have to say this. It looks like, as this war is being waged, that it's going in the right direction. You have to admit that God has moved the ball. You know, it's not like it was. However, you also have to admit that it is intense. And I remember the first time I played a football game. It looked pretty great out there, you know, in the stands. But boy, the time someone rings your bell, you realize that maybe I'm signed on for a little bit more than what I thought. Those guys are intense. And so, you know, for every football game, the bathrooms would be full of guys with diarrhea and throwing up. Because they knew that in 10 or 15 minutes, there's going to be pain. People hit each other as hard as they can. Right, guys? I mean, this is not mumbly pig. Same way in the spirit. You know, there's pain when you're in the fight. But you got to admit, things are being changed. As a matter of fact, I actually see God moving in such a way that he is setting people free. The question is, can you stand in that liberty? Can you walk in it? Or do you want to go back to your bondage? Okay? Galatians 5 is Paul talking to a church that had, I guess they were a bunch of Jews there because he keeps dealing with the fact that they wanted to go back to keeping the law, the Mosaic law, after Christ had come and set them free. And so he says this in chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And I think that one verse says it all. Christ has come. And this is true just in being saved. But, you know, like since what has happened to us, since Lake City, there definitely is a movement of the Lord to set people free. And then comes the call. So stand fast in that liberty. And don't be entangled again with what he set you free from. Amen? Is there a temptation to go back? Let's just be honest. It was better in Egypt, right? Or wherever you came from. Yeah, at least I knew the devil I was dealing with then. I'm not so sure right now. It's just crazy. Stand fast in the liberty which you are called. Now, you know, here, let me just give you a definition of liberty. I like that. It is, the liberty means to be able to do as one pleases. To do as you please. True liberty, however, is living as we should, not as we please. Amen? Real difference. Liberty is being able to do what you please, but true liberty is to go above that and not just do what I please, but what I should. Amen? Now, the liberty he was talking about here was a liberty from the law. And I just cannot miss the opportunity to, you know, to pop that again, because I love popping that issue. People who want to live under the law. Of course, we don't even know what the Ten Commandments are, right? How many of you know the Ten Commandments? Don't lie to me. You can just quote all ten of them. Not many of us. And yet, every one of us in our flesh wants to live by a law of some sort. A rule, rules of conduct that we define so that we can make ourselves feel good about where we are. And so everybody has their own version of law. Do not kid yourself. You all do. The flesh wants it. And he says, don't go back there. Kittles has this to say about freedom, liberty, freedom. He says, especially concerning this, is freedom is this. It's freedom from the law as well as from sin. In other words, from the need to seek justification by the law. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever caught yourself in one of these moments? Well, he does this. At least I don't do that. Really? I love those conversations. Because my following question is, okay, then what do you do? Let's just skip right over that issue. Let's find out what you do. We sometimes try to make ourselves feel better by comparing ourselves to someone else. That's what you call a one-up, one-down relationship. I'm better because. How many of you are better because you don't smoke? Obviously not over here. Cross that bridge later, right? How many of you are not better because you don't have tattoos? Don't examine this body, but there are none. Does that make me better? Not really. I could go on and on with that. It also, freedom means freedom from attempted autonomy. You know what autonomy means? I'm the ruler of myself. Freedom from attempted autonomy, not by breaking the law, but by fulfilling our own interpretation of the law. By following our own needs and doing our own will, by what seems to be an honest effort to do God's will. I'm not going to spend too much time with this, but I thought that was great. Here's the third one. I love this. Freedom from moralism. I just did that with y'all. I'm better because. That's moralism. Okay? Freedom from moralism, from self-lordship in the guise of serious and obedient responsibility. You know anybody that's they were just dead serious about serving the Lord. And you feel kind of nervous in their presence because nobody can touch that many commandments being done. We used to have a preacher to come in here. The guy was amazing. Gifted beyond compare. But every time he left, I felt worse about myself. I did. I was a pastor, for crying out loud. I wonder how y'all felt. Who are obviously not as good as this guy up here, right? No. All he would do was just point out all these things that he did. Where was Jesus at in all of that? You know, so free from moralism, which is a form of self-lordship. Freedom from the self-deception in which we see ourselves as God. And thus we are blind to our true reality. That's pride. Here's a fifth one. Freedom from the death, which is the natural result of sin. And you sin because you're into self-seeking. You know, when you talk about death, you are really talking about the power of Satan. He had the power of death. And so that's why I think this scripture really plays here. When you start talking about warring, you're not warring with you. You're warring with the devil. And that's why we're being called to stand fast. Stand fast. Well, look over in James chapter 4. Stand fast. Verse 7, James 4:7. It says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That word in verse 7, resist the devil, same Greek word as stand fast. Same word. So our standing is against something, and it is the devil. He is attacking. Folks, when God moves, so does Satan. I hate that, don't you? I think it seems better to me if they would just take turns. So I would know to sleep a long time when it was the devil's turn. But no, it's two tracks. They're both going on. One more scripture concerning that. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Just turn over a few pages. 1 Peter 5. Verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's not sitting around. He literally is searching for someone he can devour. Verse 9. So, resist him. Same word. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And that is the truth. You'll find that when people are struggling with something, almost everybody is in some form of that struggle. You're not alone. Now, the word is to stand fast, to resist. That is the Greek word histemi. And histemi. And sometimes they put the word anti in front of it. Histemi against. That's where we get our word antihistamine. Antihistamine. You're trying to stop something. Histemi. Histemi means this. To stand immovable. You're not going to move me off where I'm supposed to be. To stand ready and prepared. In other words, you might as well get ready for the war because the war is on. Denial doesn't work on this one. And stand without hesitation. And I love the last part of this. And sustain the authority in which you're doing what you're doing. You are standing because Christ has made you able to stand. All right? It isn't really about you as much as it is about Him. So when He wants you to stand against His enemy, the devil, you are literally having to stand in His authority because you can't do it without Him. But you better understand whose authority you're standing in. His authority. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So sometimes you got to grab yourself and your thoughts, get them lined up with what the Word says, and then do what you're supposed to do. Amen? Stand. And without going there, but you guys all know the full armor of God scripture. What does it say to do? Stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil, the methods of the devil. By now, hopefully, most of you should know what the methods of the devil are concerning your life. How does he trip you up? See, he trips me up with something other than smoking. As I do this toward Les. Sorry, Les. Not my gig. But you know what he used to trip me up on? It wasn't smoking cigarettes. He's smoking dope. Okay? So by now, I should know by now, what his methods are to get to me. They're unique to me. All right? So know what it is. Don't be stupid. If you need some help on not being stupid, ask your spouse. They'll tell you exactly where it is. Amen? Or a friend of yours. Someone in the church. They'll do God a favor and tell you exactly what's up. You know, when the Bible was written for the Jews who were living during the times of the Greek deal, they wrote the entire Bible in Greek. And they used this word, histony in Joshua. Turn to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. This is God sending Joshua forth to take the promised land. Just like I feel like many of us are there. It's time to take your promised land. So the call of the leader of those who are going there is in here. Chapter 1, look at verse 5. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you. Same word. Histemi. Stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now go take the land. No man can stand before you. Now when they were done taking the promised land, look over at the end of this book, Joshua chapter 23. The caption above chapter 23 is Joshua's farewell address. So his portion has been done. He has led them to all these victories in the promised land. What was the score, Steve? 39-1. What was LSU's score last night? Cheap shot. Don't mention Tech, okay? I'm just saying. So all those victories that we're supposed to stand in, he says this to them, chapter 23, verse 9, the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is as he who fights for you, as he promised to you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Now, that's an interesting statement at the end of all that, isn't it? I give you all this victory. One of you can chase 1,000. Therefore, take heed that you love the Lord. You think there might be a test there? That we quit loving the Lord? Maybe we do. Maybe we do. Is that all there is to it? Just stand. I don't think so. I think just resisting the devil is one thing. But what we're called to do is much more than that. We're supposed to destroy him. Amen? Show you what I mean. Jesus did it. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now look at this next line. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why was Jesus Christ manifested? To destroy the works of the devil. It's not a passive thing, folks. He's attacking it. He's not just going to say, well, we're going to let him just be over here. As long as he doesn't bother us, we're okay. No. When the battle is on, it's for victory against his enemy. He doesn't fight the old-fashioned Vietnam War, sustain the thing, just keep it there. No. We're going to fight it to win it. We're in it to win it. Amen? So that purpose was what was on Jesus' life, is to go ahead and destroy the works of the devil. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children, that be you, have partaken of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, folks, you really got to stop for a minute and think about this. Until Jesus came, the one that had the power of death was the devil. All right? Jesus came to take from him the keys of that. So, again, it's an aggressive stance to destroy him who had the power of death over us. And keep reading here. Look at the next verse. And release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So where Satan is, and we know that his threefold work is to kill, steal, and destroy. So he evidently has the ability to do those things. And because he has the ability to do those things, there is the fear of him that is in man. And so Jesus comes and he partakes of our same condition so that he can go right at the one who had the power of that and take away from him not only the results of what he used to do, but everything he trusted in. You know, when God sends forth the Lord to cast out the devil, the first thing he does is he takes from that devil the armor in which he trusted. Did you know that Satan has some tools against you that he trusts in? Why? Because you fall for it every time. Amen? Anybody gotten past that yet? Well, get your goat. Well, there's been a lot of goats being gotten lately. Right? How about being offended? What makes you offended? You think that's from God? Can we stop for a minute? Do you think that offense is from God? Ooh, she slipped one in over here. And the answer is yes and yes. It's from God to see whose will are you going to be doing. It's from the devil because he wants you to do his will. And take the offense and get mad. Well, did you hear what she said? I tell you what, you know, ladies, men just flat don't understand that. Am I right, guys? She said, who cares? Isn't that the normal response from a guy? Well, I could give a rip. And he's actually telling you the truth. He could give a rip. True? But, guys, we have to understand that God didn't make those women like that. They do give a rip. In fact, that's what they'd like to do is rip the face off the person who said that. Right? And this could go on for years. I ain't kidding you. Years. So when you're falling for the offense, ladies, is that from God? The weapons that he trusts in. God has got to grab that weapon and put it under your feet. But you have to stand fast in the liberty in which he has given. Amen? Y'all hear that? Why not just take it and do what your husband says? Blow it off. Silence means consent. Right, guys? Are you with me? Just let it go. And I know that's hard. Maybe you should get in prayer with your husband. No amens. We're going to stay here until I hear some solid repentance. Oh, come to the Father. His arms are open wide. All right, so there we are. He wants to set you free from the oppression of the devil. Look at Acts. The word destroy. Oh, yeah, 10. The word destroy means to loose from bonds, to let go from prison, and get this, and to deprive it of its authority. See, every time you agree with the devil, you have just given place to his authority. And so to destroy that word, we have to take the authority back. Okay? We've got to get ourselves free from his authority. to overthrow him. Acts 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So he took on the same form that we have, that he might destroy the one who had the power of death and the power to keep you under oppression. He came to set you free. Now, this is what I want to say about that. Sometimes, men, please listen to this concerning your wives. Sometimes, oftentimes, what is needed isn't a lecture from you. What is needed is healing from the Lord. Do you think that she's all bent out of shape because she just likes being, I ain't going to use a word here, but, you know, irritable? Or do you think her feelings are really hurt? I mean, like, really hurt. Did y'all hear what I just said? She legitimately is hurt. And you, as guys, we think, that didn't hurt me. That wouldn't hurt me. You're not a woman. I just, you know, I have spent my whole lifetime studying women, and I still haven't got to this chapter 2. Oh. They really do feel these things. They really do. And it took 40 years for me to believe that. But I believe it. And now instead of being like, I don't know what my attitude was. It wasn't good. I now kind of marvel at it and think, you know what, God? When you gave her to her husband as the gift of all gifts, it was because that was in her. She feels all things. That's a gift to you. They are amazing when things are like they ought to be. There's nothing like a happy woman. That's the truth. You got that? Why? You know, I wouldn't want to be married to a man for lots of reasons. But that's one of them. She brings the whole thing about joy unspeakable. You know, she's happy. God, it's amazing. Y'all with me? You got to take the whole package, is my point, and help her. Amen? Did I preach too long? Yes. Amen. Okay, good enough. He wants to heal from those who are oppressed. And that word, oppressed by the devil, one version of the Bible says, heal those who are under the tyranny of the devil. The devil's a tyrant. When you give him place to rule, he is a tyrant. To free those who are ruled by the devil. To those who are beaten down by the devil. So, there's our call. You know, it all started with this whole promised land, trying to take on the Ike brothers. Boy, since that we got back, I have literally seen just about all 7 of those Ike brothers manifest themselves. It's crazy. We're not going to spend time on that. There's a lot of teaching out there about that. But I have seen them. Jeff's not here today. I saw that little Facebook thing about the speed limit sign, 70-ish. And, of course, everybody thought about Jess. I feel so good. They didn't think about her. They didn't think about me first. They thought about Jessica. So there literally is a passing of the torch, the Amorite. And on it goes. I saw one the other day. Y'all, here's another Ike brother for some of you that may have this one. There is one called the Jebusite. Of those 7 Ike brothers, the Jebusite. You know what he means? It's in you if you have this. You don't feel worthy. You are trodden down. You just don't feel worthy. Anybody feel that way? And I see this a lot of times where God is offering success to someone. They don't feel like they're able to do it because they're just not worthy of this. I've been seeing that. I've seen another one, parasite. Parasite means a squatter. You ever heard the term squatter's rights? No one? Squatter's rights. You know what that means? This is a legal term. And in law school, they'll teach you this. If I have a house, let's say, in Colorado. Where is the Colorado folks? They're not here. Okay, I'll use them. Let's say I had a house in Colorado. And Les loves Colorado. He don't have a house in Colorado, but he knows someone who has a house in Colorado that is usually vacant. So Les just goes up to Colorado, finds that house, opens the locks, and he starts living there. And he is now what we call squatting. And I mean that in a good sense. Squatting, okay? You know that squatters have rights. If he stays there and presents himself as owning that house to everyone around over a period of time, he literally perfects his squatter's rights, and that house becomes his. I am not kidding you. And the only way, you can tell you where that house is? They're not here to defend themselves. And that's what you got to do when you're dealing with a squatter. You have to defend yours. If I'm the owner of that house, I have to go find out that the rest has been doing this. I want to sue his whatever back to the Stone Age. I've got to literally get the authority of the law and kick him out and claim it as mine. I've seen that at work in people. Where people will try to take from others what is not theirs and claim it as their own. That's the devil. That's the devil. Anyway, so that's what started all this stuff. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want you to know that destroy has meaning. It's not enough to just stand there and take the shots from the devil. God wants you to attack back and destroy the works of the devil, the oppression of the devil himself. Join with Jesus in this vendetta. Jesus will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. So we got to get on Jesus' side. All right, now, are you standing fast in the liberty that God is trying to grant to you right now? I love that. You the man. Or are you struggling with it? Are you having thoughts like, man, I'm not so sure about this. It was better before we picked this fight. At least I knew what I was doing and where I was. Now, you were being oppressed, but, you know, you were surviving it. God calls us to destroy this thing. And I will show you how. I mean, he really unloads the bus when he talks about that. Chapter 7 of Deuteronomy is the chapter giving them marching orders as they enter the promised land. Here's what they're supposed to do. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, and here's the Ite brothers, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, now here you go. When he delivers them over to you, when he's given you freedom, liberty, you shall conquer them and just barely destroy. No, utterly destroy them. You shall, here's the second part, you shall make no covenant with them. Don't agree. Okay, well, you got a point about that. Now, this can get crazy. I remember when I was a young married man with kids. Oh, God. Deliverance is sweet. And the war was over what music you listened to. God, those were simple days. What radio station you listened to. This was way before the internet and all the crud that's on there. So the battle was over what music they listened to. It is so easy to make a covenant with them. Well, look, if you'll just listen to Christian music for 8 hours a day, you can listen to whatever you want to for the rest of the day. You just made a covenant. You shall utterly destroy them and have no mercy. Right? This is those black and white deals. When you start getting into gray stuff, this is where you lose it. I'm not saying it's easy. No. I'm saying it's not easy. It is war. Amen? Y'all with me? You got to be brutal. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, what are you supposed to do? Get contacts? No. You pluck it out. If your hand offends you, what do? You cut that sucker off, because it's better to walk through life without those things than to go to hell. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. That's New Testament. So he's really like, I ain't playing around anymore. Verse 3, now, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Wow. Verse 5, but thus shall you deal with them. And you should really probably underline chapter 5, verse 5. Here you go. You shall destroy their altars. Break down their sacred pillars. Cut down their wooden images and burn them with fire. Is there any compromising words in there at all? I mean, he wants to devastate the thing. Okay. Absolutely wipe them out. Verse 6. Why? For you are a holy people to the Lord. Folks, somehow in our culture today, we have lost sight of this holiness thing. We think it's okay to drag our crap into the presence of the Lord and make a compromise with him. Bull! Bull! God is holy. You realize what that means? He's totally separated into this thing. And he's calling you to be a holy people. And we want to drag our stuff in there? He wants to become one with you, and yet we're trying to demand that he also be one with this junk that I'm trying to carry around. Really? 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 This is craziness that we have gotten ourselves into. So, you're a holy people to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you. And that's why he told Joshua, make sure that you love God back. He's giving you victory because he loves you. So we should love him back. And look at verse 8 again. And because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. That's what we're talking about. He's trying to set you free from the bondage that has been in your life, some of you, for a long time, even decades. Now is your time. And we take these Old Testament scriptures as a type and a shadow of a learning tool on how to deal with the spiritual realities that we're facing. So, bondage. Therefore, verse 9, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those. Look at verse 10. He repays those who hate him. You think there's anybody that hates God? What's God going to do about that? He repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Haters of God. Did y'all like the teaching of Al Helton, those of you that heard it? Do you know what the follow-on series is about? Mockers and haters of God. That's the next step, is to discover that there are those who hate God. And we wonder if God's ever going to do anything about that. Let me tell you, God will. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I know he said he would. And so he will. Maybe he's already started. Maybe. A whole lot of destruction going on. Big time stuff. So maybe we're in the move of God. And he does it because he loves us and because he keeps covenant. He does this with those who he has covenant with. I got to ask you a question. For those of you that went to Lake City, did we enter into a covenant with God up there? We did. In fact, once you turn to the scripture that we used, Exodus chapter 19. It was interesting. Before we went, God led me here and told me, he said, I want you to read these first, told me how many verses. And then when you get there, stop and ask the people, do you want to do this? And it basically was, do you want to be in a covenant with God at a level you ain't ever seen? Do you want this? And they said, oh, yeah. I said, I don't think you're getting it. And I went back to it again to try to add some steam to it and ask it again, do you want this? And God had already told me, unless they say yes, I want you to end it right there and tell everyone to go home. How about that one? That was the first night. So on a five-night deal, he's telling me, if they don't answer yes, tell them this is over. I didn't tell you all that up there, but I'm telling you now because you passed the test. So what have you got yourself into? Lindsay, would you please stand up and show them the T-shirt? This is what you got yourself into. People trying to go up to the mountain of the Lord where Jesus is, we need him. He wants us. He's calling us. He's calling us to be a special treasure. Sit down. Thank you. You did what you're supposed to do, Lindsay. How cool is that? Wow. Breaking new ground here. Exodus 19. Let's read the scriptures. And I'll just see what you let yourself into. 19, verse 3. Moses went up to God. And the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, now this is where it really got, the rubber met the road. Therefore, if you will indeed, stop. We just kind of blow past that. I mean, he literally is baiting the hook. If you will indeed do these following things. Not, oh, yeah, when I get around to it. Or, you know, when it's convenient for me, yeah, I'll get around. I will. No, no, no. We're talking about the real deal. Committing. This is like getting married. All right? You can date a long time and blow smoke up everybody. But there's a day where you're standing up there putting a ring on the finger. You know what I mean? Like, this has suddenly changed. And that's what this is all about. If you will indeed, keep reading, obey my voice. And you can stop there again. You mean when I want to? Or the things I agree with? Or according to the law that I've already made for myself? Really? No, no, no. Really obey his voice. Get real with him. And keep my covenant. If you will indeed do this, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And that's what God told me. He says, I want you to go do that right there. You go down to the Lake City and you tell all those people from the City of Refuge those verses right there. Speak those words. And ask them, do you want to do this? And they said, sort of, yes. And then, oh, yeah, of course. You're going to put it that way. Oh, yeah. Sucker. And they said yes, and so we went ahead and did it. So what's the promise? That you will be a special treasure to me and a holy nation. That's the promise. It's interesting, that word special, a special treasure. 5 years prior, we had went to Lake City and turned over to Malachi 3. I was going out to the mailbox before we went up to Lake City in 2012, and the Lord spoke this to me and said, tell the people this. Malachi 3, verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Same word, special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And if you just look down on chapter 4, this is actually part of an entire point that God is making. He does this special treasure thing right at the end. This is right before the great day of God, or the day of his wrath, the day of Jesus' return. So right before he comes back, he finds a select people that will do indeed keep his voice, indeed walk in his covenant. Those people, he will say, okay, now you're mine. You're a special treasure to me. You're my jewels, and I'm going to use you in the coming of the great day of the Lord. You will be my battle axe. You will be a discerning instrument in my hands for people to see that there's something different. But you have to be holy. See, it's a holy people that can take on the enemies of God. Who takes on God's enemies? God does. God is holy. They're not. If you want to walk with God against his enemies, you too have to be holy. Did y'all get it? Holy people are special in God's eyes. They are the treasure to his heart. That word literally means it is the king's gift. Wow, that sounds like the bride and the bridegroom. What did man get as a gift in the Garden of Eden? A wife. What is the king Jesus going to get on his return? A wife. This is what y'all have signed up for. So in the liberty that he is setting you free in, you've got to walk in it. So if he says, keep my commandments, then why don't we try that? Instead of trying to keep it going the way we've always kept it going. All that does is get you oppression and bondage. Amen? Does this make sense to y'all? It should make a lot of sense to y'all. As someone said this morning, it's time to change some things. Right? If God sets you free from prison, are you supposed to just stay there? Build a bonfire there and, you know, hook up some beanie weenies or something? How about getting up and walking out? And not going back in there? You get it? This is where you are. So, good luck. Please do it. You're not alone in your crazy warfare. No, sir, you're not alone. But you got to win. Y'all are looking at me like I just fell out of some tree. Let's all stand and get out of here. Let's just worship the Lord tonight until we get a victory. I was talking to Al when he was here. I don't know. Hopefully you were here for that. If you weren't here, we do have CDs available. We did not put that on the internet because he got into some interesting stuff. But you should go back and listen to him, because you know what he did? He also offered you a covenant. And I talked to him. I said, I wonder if these people realize what's going on with them. How many times does that happen? That God comes to a group of people and just continually offers them this covenant. That's not normal. Of course, y'all, look at y'all. I mean, look at you. And so, don't blow it off. You shouldn't blow this off. So, let's just bow our heads. Let's reconnect with where we are supposed to be with the Lord. If you uttered any words in response to what he's done here these last 2 months with all this, then let's go back there. Shall we do that? Lord, we remember your altar. Yeah, your altar. And we're going to destroy the altars of the enemy. Your altar is where I worship. That's where I find you. I don't want that stuff anymore. These things that you're setting me free of, I want free of. So in Jesus' name, I recommit myself to what I have said before you. And I say, God, I will indeed obey your voice. I will put legs to what I have said, and I will begin to do the works of the covenant. I will have no mercy on the things that the devil has put in my life, but rather I will resist them completely until I have a complete victory over that thing. And I put my foot right on his head, and I will squash it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. To your glory, Jesus. You came for victory. Not compromise. Victory. And I say, let there be victory in Jesus' name. And all the people agree by saying, amen. 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 Tonight at 6, let's just worship the Lord.